Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Black Women Are Scary, the podcast that celebrates people of color writing in horror. Why horror, you might ask? For me, it's always been about adventure and resilience. Horror stories were new worlds where people triumphed in the worst-case scenarios. I've always sought out those worlds, especially when the heroes look like me and the people I love. I'm your host, by the way, Wimoto. I'm also the founder of Dusky Projects, a group of misfits that create horror and sci-fi works. We here at Dusky Projects are all about carving out spaces for celebration and joy while facing the monsters together. So, let's lean in and listen to our story.
Cooking with My Sister by Cheyenne Jervon Brown. A woman sits in front of a two-person table with a huge bowl in front of her. It almost looks like those fancy bathroom sinks that are just glorified porcelain walks. She has a healthy helping of ramen before her. Throughout the monologue, she will methodically be eating the delicious meal. She slurps a big spoonful of broth.
I bet if you could trace the history of a person's palate preferences, you would know everything you need to know about them.
She slurps again in ecstasy.
When I was a child, you could not pay me to eat cheese. Anything that may have remotely alerted my tongue to the joys of flavor was a no-no. I wasn't having beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lambs, rams, hogs, dogs, you name it. He had to be a con artist to get me to eat anything besides chicken tenders and fries.
She twirls noodles with a fork in the crevice of a spoon.
And my sister was definitely a con artist. Well, okay, that's harsh. Well, she was actually the family chef. Mama couldn't cook worth a damn, and maybe that's why I was so picky. Oh, but Sissy, whew! Well, she would do things with food that my brain still can't quite fathom. There had to be a good 2-year period where I was convinced I was eating chicken most nights of the week because she had found ways to make whatever she cooked for the rest of the family look like the only thing I was willing to eat.
She takes a bite.
As I got older, I got hip to what was happening. I would ask, no, beg her to teach me how she did it. Trade secrets, kid. And I'd retort, who are you calling kid? You're only 5 years older. And she'd say, and you're still not getting any information out of me. She was good at keeping her secrets. My sister. I guess you can say trust issues led me to foodieism. I wanted to know all of the culinary secrets in the world. The more people turned their noses up at it, the more it made me want to try it. I have had some of the most delicious foods that bear a disgusting reputation. Blood sausage, cockroach milk, chitlins, I am black after all, tripe, kazumarsu, fried fruit bat. I could go on. Traveled a lot, had some amazing experiences, met some wonderful people, and developed some of the best relationships. And of course, that opened doors for me. I didn't even knock on. It was sheer dumb luck I became a top food critic. I am renowned for my palate, which is hilarious considering I was happy with metal-infused Tyson chicken nuggets at one point.
Suddenly, we hear a disembodied voice whisper.
Reach, 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 reach.
The woman's body tenses. Her eyes glaze. The voice comes from the woman's mouth herself. She just doesn't know it.
In the 10 years I built myself professionally, my sister was also establishing a queendom of her own. She hustled her way up from a struggling food stand to a breaking even food truck to a loved by gentrifier storefront, and now a known name in the frozen food aisles at the Whole Foods and Trader Joe's of the world. To nobody's surprise, her niche is cuisine for that picky eater in your life. No matter how big I got, as far as I was concerned, my sister was the only star in the sky. I always looked to her with awe in my eyes. She was everything, and I was nothing.
Nothing. The woman stops slurping her food. She holds her throat. Does she know the voice is coming from her?
I just wanted to be in my sister's orbit. Let's call a spade, shall we? I had spent my adult life fawning for her approval and her art. I never aspired to be good with food. I was just good with tasting it. She could never see the dynamism between us, always too concerned with being the only light.
The woman stands from the table. Her head darts around for a second. She collects herself, sits, and takes another spoonful of broth.
As time went on, I shared less of my successes with my sister. But I never hesitated to reach out to her when I saw her featured in a food magazine or if I listened in on a podcast. I was her biggest social media fan when she made it to one of those cooking reality shows. I never expected her to actually do a show like that. You know, one thing we always agreed on was how low those things were. People creating sob stories to get votes to make up for their lack of culinary skill that wouldn't carry them through the competition. My sister was too good for that crap. And then, during one of her confessionals, she said, unprovoked, mind you, that I was an imposter. Riding her coattails and how, if she won, she would finally be able to shake me. Another stratosphere where she'd be unreachable to me. She made me sound so low. And what was worse, she meant it. It wasn't said just as a tactic to win. She said she wanted to be out of my reach. She didn't win. I didn't gloat. I let some time pass before I reached out, invited her to dinner. We behaved as if nothing happened, never addressed it or the harassment I underwent from the blogs. None of it. I just asked her into my kitchen so that we could make a meal together. I said to her, I want you to teach me.
Teach you what?
How you can distort the taste of something so easily, I said.
You ground it into dust until it can travel on the air.
The woman twirls the last of her ramen noodles and eats it.
She told me about the process of dehydrating and grinding and blah, blah, blah. She said, the easiest food to learn to do this with was pasta. And she told me to get my pasta maker. My sister always made such fresh, delicious pasta.
You can make anything taste how you want it to with a little egg and a little flour.
And so, I did. Now, I told you, I was a food critic, not a chef. Because those who can do and those who can't judge. But I decided this was the night for my culinary debut. I had long kept up with the Joneses and had all of the state-of-the-art kitchenware. I grabbed my cast-iron skillet while my sister was searching through my kitchen cabinet to pull seasonings. I took my underutilized pan and I overutilized it against the side of her face. Before she fell, there was a split second where her eyes opened widely. It looked as though she had tilted her head to the side in disbelief. I almost felt guilt. But it was really that I had broken her neck, not an exclamation of betrayal. How could she look at me like that, though? It was she who had betrayed me. She betrayed my love for her. My entire life.
She picks up the bowl.
And then I made my first ever meal where I made the actual ingredients taste like something else. I blended her with a little egg and a little flour and a very hearty broth that tasted just like chicken.
She gulps down the rest of her broth.
Now you'll never be out of my reach again, sissy.
She smiles at the audience. Her face enters the trance as if the voice is about to speak, and then... the end.
Thanks so much for joining us. Cooking with My Sister was written by Cheyenne Brown and performed by Liz Morgan. Sound design was brought to you by the creative mind of Twee McCullum. Director and co-producer is the incredible Ginettis Garcia. And then there's me, your humble host, Wimoto Naoka. If you'd like to support our podcast, you can make a tax-deductible donation at the link provided on our page. You can also support by tuning in. We love that. We're here the last Friday of every month showcasing new authors and new scary stories. Till next time.